Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Tes. I hope, yes, it's Hashem, that we'll be able to finish the Perek today, so we'll actually do the first Amud of Daf Nun as well, and this will help us prepare for the upcoming Yom HaNoraim, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, where we'll try to squeeze in a couple of the extra dafim so people will be able to stay up to date. So we begin on Mem Tes Omud Aleph with Omar Rabbah Bar Barchana Omar of Yochanan. And yesterday we had discussed that underneath the Mizbeach there were these shisin, these chambers, and we'll see that there are two different opinions. One says that they go all the way down to the Tahom, and the other one says no, that they're definable, and that at the bottom it was made with a floor that was of marble, so it wouldn't get absorbed into the ground, and it will have to be cleaned out every now and then. So let's discuss this. Three lines on the top, Mem Tes Amud Aleph. Rabbah Bar Barchana Amar Yochanan tells us, Shisin Mishesis Yimei Bereishis Nivru. According to this opinion, the Shisin was something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created right at the beginning of the world, during Ma'aseh Bereishis. This is one of the creations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. Shisin Mishesis Yimei Bereishis Nivru. How do we know this? Shenema, we bring down a pasuk from Shir HaShirim, which literally means Chamuke Yerechayach Kimo Chaloim. Rashi brings down the word Chamuki means things that are hidden away, Sisrei. And the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made are like jewels. He hid away certain things like jewels, Kimo Chaloim, and they were made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma'asi Deyuman, they were made by the professional artisan, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now we darshan homiletically this pasuk. Chamuke Yireichayach, this things that are hidden away in your thighs, this is a reference to the Shisin of the Mizbeach. And it says that they were kimo chaloim, they're like these precious jewels, shemucholalim, which is a play on the word chaloim or micholalim, or big, deep holes, v'yardin adatom, they go all the way down to the depths of the world. And ma'ise yedei umon, that refers to zu ma'ise yedei umnosu shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was one that made this. So this is the source that Rabbi Baruch Han or Rabbi Yochanan says is that the Shisin were created during the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis, and they go all the way down to the Tahom. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel learned the same thing in the space Medrash, Bereishis, we dash in the first word of the Torah, Bereishis, Altikri Bereishis, don't read it as just literally in the beginning, Bereishis, Ella, Bara, Shis, it's a play on the word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created these Shisin. So these two opinions are the same, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the beginning of the world created them. Later on, we're going to have a Gemara that says that David HaMelech hollowed out these Shisin. So we seem to have a stira. And what's even more important is that Rabbi Yochanan is the one that also mentions that other din. So later on in Daf Nun Gimel, Rashi will reconcile this and say the simple answer is that these are two different opinions of what Rabbi Yochanan said. This is Rabbi Baruch Hanan, that would be a different opinion of what Rabbi Yochanan said. Alternatively, originally that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them, but then they got filled up and ultimately David had to go and dig them out. In any event, this is the opinion that says that the Shisin were created at the beginning and they go all the way down to the Tahom. We have another Braisa, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says in his Braisa, similar idea to what we just said, Shisin mecholalin v'yordin atahom. The Shisin go all the way down, their holes, their hollowed out areas that go all the way down to the Tahom. Shenemar, and he darshans a different pasuk. Oshira no lididi, shiras dodi l'charmo. This is Yeshaya speaking on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Klai Yisrael. And unfortunately, as parts of Yeshaya are, especially the earlier parts, we're now in the Sheva de Nechemta, the later parts of Yeshaya are tremendously comforting parokim, and that's why we have the seven Haftorahs come from these later parts of Yeshaya, but in the earlier parts of Yeshaya, so he's Nebuch castigating Klai Yisrael for not following what Hashem said. So this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, I have a vineyard, and you guys messed it up. Kerem Hayola Didi, Bekeren Ben Shomet, I had this really, really good vineyard, which I gave to you. We'll dash it in a moment. Vayizakeyu, Vayizakleyu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put a fence around it. Vayizakeyu means he enclosed it. And Vayizakleyu, he removed it of all the stones. In other words, he made it a good field for planting. Vayitaeyu, he planted in it sorek. Sorek is the best type of vineyard. Vayiven migdol besocho, and he put in as well a migdol, a tower over there. And Vagam Yekev Chotzev Bo. And he also put in a place that you could store the wine, a Yekev, in this area. Now, this is the literal translation of the words. Now we'll darshan it. So the pasuk says, Vayitehu Sorek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted within a vineyard. This is a reference there, Beis HaMikdosh. And Vayiven Migdol Besocho, this is a reference over here to the Mizbeach that he put there. Vagam Yekev Chotzev Bo, and he put in a collecting place for the wine. This is a reference to Elu HaShisin. Now, the first part was this Karim. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this beautiful land, the Eretz Yisrael, and he put in it, Vayizakeyu, he put in it fortified cities, Rashi says. Vayisakleyu, it means he cleared it of all of our enemies. And nevertheless, we didn't treat the land properly, we didn't follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said we should do. In any event, the point that we're bringing down over here is, V'gam Yekev Chotzabo, is this is the Shisin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. So now, we have these three statements, Rabba Bar Chanan and Rabbi Yochanan, the first brisa from Tanya Rabbi Shmuel, and then this second brisa. Now we have a different opinion. This opinion says, no, Tanya, we learned in a brisa, Omer B'loza Bar Tzadok, Rabbi Loza Bar Tzadok says, Lul Koton Hoyo Ben Kevesh Lamizbeach. There was a small little opening, a space, that was in between the Kevesh. The Kevesh was a ram that was leading up to the top of the Mizbeach. But there was a space. It didn't go up all the way. There had to be a space in between because it says just like you are throwing the dam onto the applications in some situations, you have to do zrika. So too, you have to toss, you have to throw the korbanos that were going onto the Mizbeach from the Kevesh. So they had this little space in between there as a reminder of the din that you have to throw it. You tossed it onto the Mizbeach. In any event, there was this space. There's a big machlokus where the space actually was. It was Lu Koton Hoya Bein Kevesh L'Mizbeach B'Maravo Shel Kevesh. It was on the western side of the Kevesh. So Rashi seems to understand that it was actually in the Kevesh. The Kevesh was 16 amos in its width. It was 32 amos in its length. And the Mizbeach was 32 amos. So you're going to have 8 amos to the Mizrach side and 8 amos to the Mariv side of the Kevesh that was going to be open and on those sides, 8 amos on each side where the Mizbeach was, and 16 amos, it covered the Mizbeach. Now, Rashi seems to indicate that it says over here, it was on Marav Shel Kevesh, it means the Mariv, which would be the left as you're facing that way going up the ramp, it would be the 8 amos left as opposed to the 8 amos to the right of the Kevesh where it overlapped the Mizbeach. So in those 8 amos, that's where the space actually would be. According to others, it means that on the 8 amos that are open, not by the rim, that's where this lul was. In any event, this lul was on Barav Shel Kevesh, and Ba'achas L'Shivim Shana, that's the gerusa that we have, once in every 70 years, Rashi brings down, it says, Rashi V'chol Nischayayin Shel Kol HaShana Yordim Shom, so there are those that say that the gerusa should be over here once every year. In any event, we have the gears once every 70 years. The young Kohan and the Pirchei Kuna would Yordim Lashon, would go down there, because as I mentioned previously, the bottom, Rashi says, was marble, so it couldn't get absorbed into the ground. So all the libations that they poured into this area would eventually go into this lul, and it had to be cleaned out, because you'd have congealed wine for many, many years, either 1 year or 70 years, that would be stored down there, and it would have to be cleaned out, otherwise it would just fill up. And therefore, these Pirchei Kuna would go down there. Either they themselves would go down there, it was big enough, or they would stick their hands down there or some utensil down there. And they would bring up all the hardened wine, the spoiled, hardened, congealed wine that was collecting down there. It was like pressed figs. And then they would take this, and there was an obligation to go and burn it. And they burned it in the area of the Azara. It needed to be burned in the Kodesh, as the Pasuk tells us, Shenemar Bakodesh Haseich Nesech Shechor LaHashem. The Pasuk tells us that it had to be Bakodesh where this libation was done to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And we turn to Memtes Omid Beis. How do we darshan this over here? Geshem Shenisucho B'Kedusha, just like the Nesech has to be in the Azara, on the Mizbeach, of course, Kach Srefaso B'Kedusha, so too the burning has to be also in the area of the Azara. And the Gemara says, how do you see that? My mashma. The Pasuk doesn't mention anything about burning it. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravina, this is a Gzeirah Shava, Asik Kodesh Kodesh. It says over here, Ksiv Hocha, Bakodesh, Hasech Nesech Shechor LaHashem. So therefore, that tells us the word Bakodesh. And Ksiv Hosim, it says in regards to the burning of the Nosar, Visarafto Esanos. So you have to go burn the Nosar, the leftover meats from the Korbanos that weren't eaten in the proper time. Visarafto Esanosar, anything that's left over, has to be burned Bo'esh. Lo yechel ki kodeshu, you're not allowed to eat it, and it has to be burned kodeshu. And therefore, that kodesh has to be inside the azara, that's where it has to be burned. So too, the leftover wine after it had congealed at the bottom of this lul, so it had to be taken out, and it had to be burned. So therefore, this opinion says it doesn't go all the way down to the tahom, it is collected over there in the bottom. Now, Kiman oz loha. Now we have the Gersa Hod Tanya that it's a brisa, but it really should be the Tanan, the Mesoros Hashas tells us, because this is a Mishnah in Me'ila. So now, who is the author of this Mishnah Me'ila based upon this machlokes that we just had? One says that it goes all the way down to the Tahom. That's the first opinion. We brought down three sources for it. And then we had the second brisa that says, no, it's a lul and has it's not a bottomless pit. It has a bottom to it and it has to be cleaned out. So who does the following Mishnah in Me'ila go according to? The Mishnah says, Nisachim Batchila Mo'al Behen. Originally, before you actually pour the Nisachim, there's a din of Me'ila. If a person unintentionally goes and uses something from the base of English, so he's chayav for being taking something, usurping something without permission, and therefore, if he does this, it's only done accidentally. If you do it on purpose, it's not actually an Issa Me'ila, it's an Issa Geneva. In any event, this Me'ila requires you to bring an Asha Me'ila, you have to pay back the Keren, you have to pay back a Chomesh, all the dinim of Me'ila apply. So the Nesachim, before they're actually poured, there is a din of Me'ila. However, Yardu L'Shisim, once they're poured and they go down to the Shisim, ain't more than that. There is no longer a din of Me'ila. Now, that's what the Mishnah Me'ila says. So let us say this doesn't go like the opinion, Lema, Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadiki. This only goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar Rav Tzadiki. It doesn't go according to the first opinions that we brought down, in the name of Rabbi Bar Chan, in the name of Yochanan, and the Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel, and the other Braisa, they seem to say that it's a bottomless pit. So how could you ever do Me'ila on it? The Rabbanan, if it was the opinion of the Rabbanan, the first opinion, Ha'nachasul Hu D'Tom, it goes all the way down to the home. So how could you do Me'ila on it? So obviously it says that there is no din of Me'ila, it means it must be accessible. So this must be, the Mishnah in Me'ila must be only going according to Rav Elazar of Tzadok. So the Gemara says, no, afilu tam rabbanon, this could even be accorded with the opinion of the rabbanon. I went all the way down to the Tahom. We're dealing over here with b'di'ikle, because Rashi says, im tolu kli b'sol chashis v'kibel. So you put some sort of a collecting container, you put a jug, you put a barrel underneath the area where the libations would flow before they go all the way down to the bottom of the shisim, and therefore, it's telling us there, if somebody were to do that, technically they wouldn't be over Me'ila, because once the mitzvah is reformed, there is no din of Me'ila. So therefore, lav dafka, that this Mishnah Me'ila is only according to Rav Elazar Tzadok. It certainly goes according to Rav Elazar Tzadok, but it could even go according to the Chachamim. Alternatively, some ask this in a totally opposite way. Vika the Armei, they said that this Mishnah Me'ila is a raya to the Rabbanan. Leim Rabbanan hi, v'lo Rabbi Elazar Tzadok. This only goes according to the Chacham, who say it goes all the way down to the Tahom, and not Rabbi Elazar Tzadok, who says it is a finite pit. Because the Rabbi Elazar, if you say that this is a finite pit, akase b'kidushu sayu kaimi, we just learned that he says that it requires burning in the Kodesh. Now, according to the Chachamim, it goes all the way down to this bottomless pit. There's no mitzvah to burn it. According to Rav Elazar Tzadok, he says that through this Gzeirah Shavah of Kodesh Kodesh that we just learned, that you have to go and burn it. So therefore, it still has something to be done to it. So why would there not be Me'ila? There should be Me'ila. Therefore, let us say that the Rabbi Elazar, akate b'kitush sayu kaime, it has to be burned, and therefore there should be Me'ila. So Gemara says, no. I feel the same Rav Elazar. This could certainly go according to Rav Elazar. Why? Because as I mentioned before, once the mitzvah is performed, so then there is no longer a din of Me'ila. You still have to go and burn it. Gemara says, that is not the essence of the mitzvah. That is something that you have to do, but the mitzvah has already been done. And therefore, once the mitzvah is done, there's no longer a din of Me'ila, even though there still are things that need to be done with it. But the mitzvah itself is the determining factor. Until the mitzvah is done, there's Me'ila. Once the essence of the mitzvah, the Ikar mitzvah, is done, so then even though there may be other things you still have to do, but there is no din of Me'ila anymore. Mark continues and tells us the din of Reish Lakish. Amar Reish Lakish bisman sheminaschin yayin al gabi hamizbeach. When you go and pour the wine on the mizbeach, what did they do? Pokekin esashisim. They didn't let it flow all the way down either to the tahom or into this lul. They didn't allow it to just flow freely down there. But first, they plugged up the safalim that they eventually had the water or the wine drain down from it. And they did this l'kayim hashnemar, to fulfill that which the pasuk in Bamidbar tells us b'kodesh hasech nesach shechor Hashem. This pasuk that says that it should be a nesach shechor. Now, what does that mean? My mashma. So I'm a papa. The girsa that we have is shechor is a lashon of shesia, that it should be a drinking lashon sevia, a type of drinking that is also going to satisfy you, fill you up, a lashon of sevia. And this is also a lashon of shichrus, that you drink a significant amount. Now Rashi has a slightly different gears over here. Rashi has the gears that the shechor is a lashon of shichrus, the simcha unesicha. So it's a similar idea, but basically that it has to be a certain type of drinking. And this type of drinking has to be a large amount in your mouth at the same time. So therefore, they had to plug up pokikin and sashisin to have this expansive type of a drinking at the same time, as opposed to pouring it down, and it's like it goes straight down into your stomach, as opposed to holding a large amount in your mouth at the same time, which is what Rav Papa now tells us. I'm Rav Papa, you see from this din of the Mizbeach, the proper way to drink as well. Shema mina, ki sova inish cham, if a person wants to get the maximum benefit from wine, to really satiate yourself with wine, migrone sova, let a whole bunch sit in your throat before you swallow it, and that will give you the maximum benefit of the wine. As Rashi points out, ayidei sheshoseyu belegimos gasos, by drinking it with large gulps, having a large amount in your mouth before you swallow it. So vigoron mole hu masbia. So this large amount in your throat, that fills you up. V'lal ayidei shesiyo meruba, but not by drinking a lot, but by drinking in a small aliquots. Shemachnes harbe yayim b'meyav, ayidei legimos dakos. So taking sip, 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 well, your total amount may be a lot, you won't get the same benefit as taking a big amount in your mouth and then swallowing it all at once. That's opposite of food, where it doesn't work that way, Rashi points out. In any event, this is the din that Rav Papa tells us, and a practical nafkamina for this is brought down by Rav. Amar Rav, suvi mi rabbanan, a young Talmud Chacham, usually not wealthy, the lo nefisha le chamra, who doesn't have a lot of wine, but wants to get the maximum benefit from the wine, so ligma gemue, he should do the drinking in this way, as Rashi says, belegimos gasos, he should put a lot of the wine, he only has a small amount, but he should put it all in his mouth at once, and savor it, and then swallow it all together. Similarly, Rava, when he would make the bracha, akasa de brichasa, when Rava held the kosher bracha, whatever the situation was, we often make a bracha ala kos, at a chasna, we make a bari priya gofen, and we make the birchas eris, and the birchas nisum ala kos. Benching, we make ala kos. So when Rava would have a kosher bracha, agame gemue, he would go and drink it in this fashion, and Rashi explains the reason why he did this was the derech sviya, he did this to have the full benefit, the full satiety from it, mishum chivuv mitzvah, to have the love and demonstrate his love for this mitzvah by drinking it in the most optimal way. Furthermore, Doresh Rava, Rava Darshan, the following pasuk, also from Shir HaShirim, it says, "My disiv." What does the pasuk mean? Ma yofu p'amayich. Your steps are so nice. V'na'olim bas nediv. You walk in these sandals. You daughter of the nediv. So how do we darshan this? Ma yofu p'amosein shayisrael. It is wonderful. B'shor sha'olim l'regel. When Chai Yisrael takes these steps, these beautiful steps, is referring to our walking to the Beis HaMikdash, the Shlosh Regalim, Bas Nadiv, we're referred to as the Bas Nadiv, this is Bito Shel Avram Avinu, that he was called Shenikwa Nadiv, so we're referred to as the children of Avram Avinu, Shenemar, because it says, Nadive Amim Nesofu Am Elokei Avraham, all the Nadivim, they gathered, the fancy people, the important people, they all gathered, and they were gathering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was the God of Avram Avinu. Now, why? Elokei Avram, lo Elokei Yitzchak Yaakov? Why only is referred to over here as Am Elokei Avraham? So the point is, Elokei Avram, we refer to specifically the Nedivim as the Elokei Avram, Shura Tchila Legem, he was the first Nediv. Tchila Legem, Rashi tells us, B'nidvas Libo, this guy, he donated his heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the first one that recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, he's called the Nediv. And we're referred to over here as Nedive Amim, so that's why it says Am Elokei Avraham. Furthermore, it says in Shir HaShirim, Tonadvi Ravonon, the pasuk that we brought down earlier in this year, my disiv when it said Chamuke Yerechayech, the things that were hidden away in your thighs, so Lama Nimshlu Divrei Torah Kiyarech. Why is the Torah specifically referred to as the Yarech, the thigh, the foundation? So to teach us, lo maloch, ma yorech b'seyser, adivri Torah b'seyser. Just like the yarech of the body is something that's only covered up, it's hidden, it's b'seyser, so too, divrei Torah really need to be studied in privacy, with full concentration, without external distractions. Vayinu d'amar v'loza, this is what v'loza said, my disiv, when he said, he darshan the following pasuk from Micha, famous pasuk at the end of the Haftorah, my disiv, higid lecho odom ma tov umo Hashem dorish mimcha ki imasos mishpat va'avas chesed. What does Hashem want from you? He wants you to do mishpat and chesed, and then vatznei aleches imalokecha, and you should walk with tznius with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, how do we homiletically dash in this pasuk? It tells us you should do mishpat, asos mishpat. You should do justice. This is a reference to din. person has to do things properly. You know, there's some things that are mitzvah sichlios. You have to have a system that's set up, that's an erlicha system. So do justice, asos mishpat. This is a reference to din. Avas chesed, however, this is a reference to gemilus chasodim. This is going, like, lifnei mishur hadin, going above and beyond what the din mandates. You should also do extra. You should do avas chesed. And this is a reference to gemilus chasodim. And then matznei alechzim lokecha. How do we darshan that? Zu atzor sameis vachnosas kal luchupa. Examples of gemilus chasodim are going and taking care nebuch of a levaya and lahavdil b'chayim l'chayim to go and take care of a kala going to a chuppa. So now these things are normally done big public fanfare. V'alo dvarim kal v'chomer umad dvarim shedarkin lasos v'fahesya. This levaya sameis and achnosas kala, so these things are normally done publicly, and yet the Torah says, Omer Torah hatznei alechus, you have to do it the chavadik way. You can't do this in a way that's going to cause embarrassment, in a way that's going to cause people to be uncomfortable. You have to do this bitznius as well. So certainly, if something which is done publicly has to also be done bitznius, so dvarim shadarkan lasos vitzina, so certainly something which is normally done in privacy, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so? So therefore, the gemilus chasodim that you do, even if they're public types of gemilus chasodim, they have to be done with sneers. So certainly the more private gemilus chasodim that you do, you're giving tzedakah to a wealthy person that lost all of his money, and to do that publicly would be a tremendous busha. So when you do the mitzvah of gemilus chasodim, even the private ones, you have to do with tremendous sneers. Furthermore, Amar Rabbi Elazar, let's say another statement, God alone said tzedakah, yosim yikol ha-karbonos, if a person does giving tzedakah properly, so that's even better than a carbon. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Asei tzedakah mishpat nivchar l'Hashem yizevach." The doing of tzedakah and mishpat is even more preferable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than even a zevach. Rashi reminds us that a zevach refers to any type of carbon. Hakol b'chlal zevach. Rashi says, "Chatos roshim ro l'shlamim kulam zevachim." They're all the generic word for a sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the doing of tzedakah and mishpat properly is even more preferable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the bringing of karbanos. Another statement from Rabbi Elazar, Yomar Rabbi Elazar, Gedol Gemilus Chasadim Yosim Menat Tzedakah. Gemilus Chasadim is better than Tzedakah. Why is that? Shenemar, Ziru Lechem L'Tzedakah. Now, the Gitzur we have is Vit Kitzur, but there is no Vav in the Pasuk, so it should be read. Ziru Lechem Tzedakah, do Zriya, which is planting with Tzedakah, but Kitzur, when you harvest it, Lefi Chesed. Now, it seems to say that Tzedakah is associated with Ziru, and Chesed is associated with Kitzru. So what does this mean? So he dashes homiletically, Imadum Zareya, when a person goes and plants, no, Sofik Ochel, Sofik En Ochel. Maybe it'll be successful, maybe it won't. However, by the time the Kitziru comes around, Adam Kotzer Vadi Ochel, if you're harvesting the produce, so then that means it was a successful crop. And therefore, we associate Chesed with something that's higher level, Kitzru, as opposed to Tzedakah, which is a lower level of Ziru. Another statement that Rabbi Elazar made, V'am Rabbi Elazar, ain't tzedakah mishtalemes, ela levi chesed shabah. The way you give tzedakah, the reward you get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't for, I gave $20 in tzedakah, you get $20 worth of reward. No, how did you give it? It's levi chesed shabah. With the way that you gave it is even more important than the amount that you gave. Shenema, ziru lechem l'tzedakah, you go and plant tzedakah, but, again, we delete the vav, Kitzru lefi chesed, but your tzira, what you'll be rewarded, that will be depending on how you did it. If you give the ani $5, but you give him with a smile and you offer him a drink of water, that's much better than giving $20 and say, here, why don't you get a job? So therefore, the way you give it is even more important than what you give. Following Bryce teaches us a similar idea. Tana Rabbanu, Mishlosh Dvarim, Gedol Gemilus Chesed, Yosem Net Tzedakah. In three ways, Gemilus Chesed can be greater than Tzedakah. Why is that? Tzedakah b'mamona. When you give tzedakah, we're talking about giving money. However, when you're doing gemilus chasadim, that can be done. Gemilus chasadim b'megufa b'mamona. It can be done not only with money. You can give chesed by crossing an old lady across the street. Doesn't cost you a dime, but that's still a chesed. Likewise, tzedakah is given laniyim. You give tzedakah charity to poor people. However, gemilus chasadim can be done to a rich person. Gemilus chasadim b'en laniyim b'en lashirim. The rich person needs help, so you can help the rich person out, and you're also doing chesed. Albeit, you give Bill Gates a $100 tzedakah check, he's not going to be caring one way or the other. It's zero to him. But if you help him across the street, so then he's happy. So you can do gemilus chasadim to rich and poor people. And finally, the third way, the gemilus chasadim is better in tzedakah. It's tzedakah, you can only do l'chaim. You can give money to a person who's alive. You can't give money to a dead person. But gemilus chasadim can be done even to dead people. Gemilus chasadim bein l'chaim, bein l'meisim. A person can even do charity to a dead person. When we give tzedakah, l'ilui nishmas somebody, so then you're doing a chesed to that person. You're doing chesed both for the living and for the dead. Another member from Rabbi Elazar, Yomer Rabbi Elazar, Kolo said tzedakah mishpat. If somebody does tzedakah and mishpat, in other words, he does it properly, ki'ilu milei kol olam kulu chesed. It's as if he filled up the entire world with chesed. This is how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do tzedakah properly. Shenemar, ohei tzedakah u'mishpat, chesed Hashem ol haaretz. If a person does tzedakah and mishpat, so then that fills up the world, chesed Hashem ol haaretz, the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will fill up the entire world. Shema Toma, you're going to say, oh, kol habo likvot kofetz, it's real easy to do so. Hey, just follow this dictum, everybody's going to be able to do this. As Rashi says, you think it's so easy, lasot stalk of a chesed, kofetz umaspikin umamtsim lo anoshim hu gotem lekach. You think, just because you say you want to do it, that you're suddenly going to find people that you can do tzedakah and chesed with? Talmud Lomar. Pasuk tells us, "My yoker chasnecho Elohim." The pasuk continues with Gomer. The end of the pasuk is, "Vnei Adam itzel kenafecho yechasayun." Not the girsa that we have; it's a mistake. Chesed Hashem ol haaretz should be deleted. So as Rashi continues, "Tzarech loseis leiv." You have to put effort, v'letroach, and to work hard, v'lirdova, to run after such tzedakah or mishpat. L'fisheinu metsuya tomid. It's not constantly found. Liskos bolim who got him. You have to give tzedakah to the right people. You have to work at it to make sure that you're not wasting your tzedakah money and you're not inappropriately giving it to. However, that's for a general person. Yochel, you might have thought, af yori shemayim kein, even a person who's a yori shemayim, they have fear of awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'll also have a hard time doing tzedakah mishpat. No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it easy for them. Tam b'lomar, v'chesed Hashem me'olam, v'yad olam, ayirei av. And the end of the pasuk says, v'tzad kasel v'nei vonim. Kosh Baruch will make it very easy for a Yori Shemayim to find it. A regular Stam person who's not a Yori Shemayim, it's not so easy to get stuck to do it properly. But if you're a Yori Shemayim, Kosh Baruch will make every opportunity come your way. Amar Chama Bar Papa, Kol Adam Sheish Olav Chayin. If a person is a person who has chayin, there's no really good translation for the word chayin. Chayin means a person who's essentially beloved by everybody. Motzah chayin, Esther Motzah chayin b'enav. Esther was loved by everybody. So a person has chen, a person has a certain goodness about them. So biyadua shiyori shemayim. Such a person obviously must be yori shemayim, as the pasuk says, shenemar chesed Hashem me'olam yadolam ayireyav. That a person who is a yori shemayim, so he has chesed upon him, he has chen upon him. And finally, Amar Belozer, another statement that Belozer made. My desiv, the famous pasuk that we say in Eishes Chayil every Friday night. My desiv piya pasra bechochma v'soras chesed al lishona. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows her mouth to open up with tremendous chokhmah, and the Torah of chesed is on her mouth, on her lashon, on her tongue. V'chiyesh Torah shel chesed, v'chiyesh Torah sheinu shel chesed. What does it mean, Torah chesed al lishona? What exactly does that mean, that there's a Torah of chesed? Is there a Torah that's not a chesed? So one says, yeah, there are differences. El Torah lishma, if a person learns Torah lishma, he does it l'shem shamayim. He's doing it not for any secondary gain. He's doing it totally because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, learn Torah, and he learns Torah only for that reason. Zui Torah shel chesed. That's a Torah shel chesed. The person learns shelo lishma, which is a wonderful thing. He tells shelo lishma, bo lishma. Nevertheless, that's not called Torah shel chesed. Shelo lishma, zui Torah she'ein shel chesed. It's Torah. It's wonderful. It's good. It has no detriment or downside to it, but it's not called Torah shel chesed. Igadamri, an alternative way of learning. This is Torah lelamda. If you're learning Torah and then you're doing it to teach to other people, that's Torah shel chesed. Zui Torah shel chesed. However, if a person learning for himself and not learning for anybody else, and not learning to teach other people, shelo lelamda, okay, that's Torah, zui Torah. However, that's not Torah shel chesed. Zui Torah she'ena shel chesed. A person should always have his eye on learning Torah in order to teach it to other people. Okay. Now we finish this. I got it to the discussion, and we go right to in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is quoted, and it says, "Kimaseo b'chol v'chulei." Just like we do the bringing of the nisach hamayim on a weekday, you take the tzluchis shozov and you fill it up in the shiloach, and you go and do the nisach hamayim on the mizbeach. The same process almost is done on Shabbos, with the one exception that we said on Shabbos, you can't go and fill it up on Shabbos and carry it on Shabbos, so you fill it up on every Shabbos, but then you have the problem that it would be possible belina. It stayed overnight in the klisharis, so it would be no good. So we said, bedavka, in that situation, the tzluchah shelzov, the container that you're filling up the water from the shaloch, either the three lugin, like the Tanakam and the Chachamim, or the one lug, like Rabbi Yehuda, it had to be filled up Erev Shabbos, brought to the Beis HaMikdash, it was put into one of the lishkos, and you use it then Shabbos morning. So Gemara asked the obvious question, which I've already answered multiple times, but amai, how come you bedavka have to put it in a tzlucha shelzov that wasn't mikudeshes, it wasn't a klisharis? Nice in mikudeshes. What's the problem if you were to bring it in a klisharis? As Rashi points out, the kosolka daitach, at this point, our opinion is that ein hakli mikachon, the utensil that it's a kli sharetz doesn't have the capability to be makadish something inside of it, kedushas agov, li pasul belina, that it should be ruined with lina if it stayed overnight, unless it has two characteristics. Elo imkein, number one, daito sheikatshenu akli, you have to have hinni muchen mezumen, I'm intending to be makadish in this kli sharetz, and implying that if you don't, so then it's not makadish in the kli sharetz. So take a kli sharetz and have in mind not to be makadish it. Or alternatively, that you have to put in exactly the right amount, kishir. And if you put in more than the kishir, it's also not makadish it automatically. So the Gemara's question is, why do you bedavka have to take a tzluchas that's not a kli sharetz, a tzluchas that's not mekudeshes? Take one that's mekudeshes, and number one, have in mind that you're not being makadish the water that you're putting into it, so it won't be possible, lina. And number two, put in more than the shir, put in more than the three lugin according to the chachamim, the one lug according to Rabbi Yehuda. And by definition, in our Havamina right now, it won't be Makadish. It's only Makadish if you put in the exact shear. So that's what the Gemara asks. Why Bedavka don't we do it this way? Why do we Bedavka use a non-Kli Sharetz when we could use a Kli Sharetz and not have it be Makadish to water and therefore no Psul of Lina? So Ziri answers, I'm a Ziri. Kesavar, this Tana of our Mishnah clearly doesn't hold like this. Kesavar, number one, ain't Shulamayim. He says there is no maximal shear. It's a minimal shear of three lugim according to Chacham and one lugim according to Yehuda. You want to bring four lugim, five lugim, no problem. And therefore, you can't say it's not Makadish because you didn't put in the right shear. There is no right shear. That's number one. And number two, this Tana holds with Klisharis, Makadish Shlomi Das. Even if you didn't say, I want to be Makadish in this Klisharis, by putting it in the Klisharis, even without Kavana, it automatically becomes Mekudeshes. So therefore, that's Teretz number one. We're going to have three Terutzim. This is Teretz number one. As to Ziri's Teretz, as to why we bedavka have to use a non-Kli Sharetz on Erev Shabbos to collect the water, and it's not possible lina because it's not a Kli Sharetz. Because if you did put it in a Kli Sharetz, even though you didn't intend to be Mekadesh it, it would automatically be Mekadesh it, and even though you put in more than the shear, it's not a requirement that you put in exactly the shear to be Mekadesh it. Even if you put in more, it'd be Mekadesh it. That's Teretz number one from Ziri. We turn to Nun Amud Aleph. We just finished off Ziri's statement. Therefore, if you were to put it into its luchas shelzav that was a kli sharetz, it would be makadish it no matter what, and therefore it would be posul belina by staying in the kli sharetz overnight Friday night, and you wouldn't be able to use it Shabbos morning. Teretz number one. Teretz number two, Chizki Omar. Chizki says, no, let's even assume the kli sharetz ain't makadish el midas. You're right. The Havamina was correct, that unless you specifically intend to consecrate it in the Kli Sharetz won't have the capability of being Makadish it. But then what's the reason that we don't allow that? Why did the Tana of a Mishnah say, no, we bedavka use a non-Kli Sharetz, it's Luchas Shelzav that wasn't Mekudeshes? Because he says, we make a Gzeira. Ugzeira. The rabbis instituted the Gzeira here because people aren't going to know this, and they're going to see that it was in a Kli Sharetz, and they're going to say, Shema Yomru, Ledas Niskachu. They're not going to know that you Bedavka had in mind not to be Mekadesh. They're going to assume that it was Mekudeshes and that it intended to be Mekudeshes. And guess what? There's no Psul of Lina. And therefore, in this situation, the Hamon Am is going to make a mistake and think that there is no din of Psul of Lina by this water. And that could lead to trouble in the future. So therefore, Chizki says it's a Gzera de Rabbanan. You're right. Technically, it's not Mekudeshes. But because of this Gzera, this concern, the rabbi said, we're not going to let you put it into a Kli Sharetz. And Teretz number three, Amar Yane, Amar Zeri says, no, even if you assume that both of the Havaminas were correct, Avi Lutema, Yeshu Lamayim. Number one, that there's an exact shear that's Mekudeshes. Three Lugim according to Rachamim, one Lugim according to Yehuda, and you put in 3.1 or 1.1, respectively, for each of the Shitas, it wouldn't be Mekadesh. And likewise, Ukli Sharetz Mekadesh Lomidas, and you have to have intention to be Mekadesh. So both of these Havaminas that we had were in fact correct. And therefore, the question is a good question. Why didn't the rabbis allow you to use a Kli Sharetz? It was Mekudeshes. There shouldn't be a problem of Lina. So the answer is, again, Ugzeira. The rabbis instituted Ugzeira over here. What's the concern? Again, people aren't going to know this. And they're going to say, you know what? Shema Yomru, the Hamon Am is going to say, L'kida Shodayim Raglayim Milon. This is talking about on Sukkot. So a few days beforehand, it was Yom Kippur. And the Kohen Gadol didn't use the Kiyar. The Kiyar was for the rest of the Kohanim. The Kohen Gadol had a special ketone shelzov. He had a golden vessel that they poured on a Yadayim Raglayim, that they did the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim on the Kohen Gadol. He didn't have to go to the Kiyar. They had a special golden vessel. So people are going to see this golden vessel, and they're going to assume it was the same golden vessel that was filled up for the Kohen Gadol. And that was done Lidas, and that didn't have a specific shear, and therefore it would be Mekudeshes. And therefore we're going to say, oh, they're still using the stuff that was from a couple of days ago. Obviously, there is no concept of Lina in regards to this water, and therefore that's going to be the mistake. And therefore, the rabbi said to get around this mistake, Bedavka use a ketone shelzav, it's Lucas shelzav that doesn't have the status of a kli sharetz. Not only we would stop over here, But as I said, we're coming up on the Yom HaNoraim, and we're going to have days where we won't be able to give the shiur, obviously, on the tape, online, and to make it easy for people, we'll try to pick up an Amud every now and then over the next week or two, so people will be able to keep up to date with the Daf Yomi and not have to do two or three Dafs after Yom Tov is over. Okay, so we quote again the Mishnah, and the Mishnah said, Nishpecha onis galsa v'chule. We said that if the water that you had stored away on Erev Shabbos in the non-Kli Sharis got spilled out, or if it was left uncovered, and then you have the problem of Gilui, which we said is a concern that maybe a snake had put Eris inside of it, so then we said that you could just fill up water from the Kiyar. The water in the Kiyar has no psul of Lina, because the Kiyar was lowered back into the Mayan overnight, and therefore there is no psul of Lina by the Kiyar. So if you didn't take the water from the Shulach, you could take it from the Kiyar. If the water from the shiloh that you took became uncovered, or it spilled out, so then it would still be acceptable to use the water from the kiyar. So Gemara says, Vamai, why is this a concern that you have uncovered water, gilui, with the water, le'ave b'mesanenes, go and strain it. And then when you strain it, you can take out the eris from it by straining it, and therefore you should be able to use it anyway. So the Gemara says, obviously, the Tana of our Mishnah doesn't hold that you can strain it. And the opinion of straining it is Rabbi Nechemiah. So the Gemara says, Lema Mastisim, the Lok Rabbi Nechemiah. Obviously, the author of our Mishnah doesn't hold like Rabbi Nechemiah. What did Rabbi Nechemiah say to Tanya? We had a Braisa that taught us, Misanenes, if you want to strain the water, Yeshua Mishum Gilui. Even if you strain it, you still have the concern with Gilui. The Tana Kama of this Braisa says that straining it won't remove the poison. On the other hand, Abba Rabbi Nechemiah, he disagrees. He says, Hey Masai, when would you say that wine that was left uncovered is a psul of gilui and you can't use it? That's bisman shah tachton magula. If the chamber that it falls into, you pour it into an upper chamber and then it goes right into the lower chamber, so then there is a problem of gilui. But abuzman shah tachton magula, if you had in between the upper chamber and the lower chamber a filter, a sieve that can strain out the poison, so then afa pishol yod magula, even though the top is uncovered and maybe the snake put its poison into it, nevertheless, ein bo mishum gilui, the wine filters down into the bottom, and there is no concern of gilui, because it's straining out the poison. Dineisha eres nachosh, because this poison that the nachosh, the venom that it instills into this wine, domil is svog, it is going to be similar to a sponge. The poison is like a sponge, which is soft, which floats, va'omi bimkomo, and stays in its place, and it won't sink down into the bottom layer. So therefore, Rabbi Nechemi would say, and even though there was gilui of wine or of water, if you had a strainer there, you could strain it, and therefore you could use that water. So if it was nizgalsa, just strain it. But our Mishnah didn't state that. Our Mishnah said, then use the water from the kiyar. Ergo, it must be that our Mishnah doesn't hold like the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah. Mar says, not necessarily so. Why is that? Afilu tem Rabbi Nechemiah. Our Mishnah could be like a Rabbi Nechemiah, that a strainer works for poison. But that's for your drinking it, so it's not a concern at all. But when you're drinking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you're giving to drink on the Mizbeach, oh, you have a higher standard. When did Rabbi Nechemiah say that you can use a strainer, that's to get rid of the poison, and there's zero concern? That's lehedjo, that's for a regular person. So if you had water or wine or the other beverages that this applies to, that was open and you strain it, so then you can drink it. There's zero concern. There's no sakana. The straining works perfectly. However, but you're giving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're putting it on the Mizbeach, you're doing Anisuch HaMayim, you're doing Anisuch HaYayin, Lehejot, it's fine, but Avu LeGavoa for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who ever said that Rabbi Nechemiah would allow you to strain it? Mi Amar, because after all, doesn't everybody, including Rabbi Nechemiah, hold from the dictum, the less Leila Rabbi Nechemiah, HaKriveyu No LePechosecha, would you go and give such a lousy present or item? That's what the Navi Malachi is talking about over here. Would you give something that's disgusting to go to give it to your king, to give it to your pechosecha, to give it to your secular leader? Would you offer up such a lousy carbon to such a secular leader, a present to such a secular leader of such a lousy nature? Hakriveyo nola pechosecha, would you give something like this to your leader? Hayirzecha, would you do so? Hayisa ponecha amar Hashem tzvakos, would this really be the way that you'd want to go and curry favor with the leader? That's what you're doing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You give HaKadosh Baruch Hu these garbage karbanos. You're giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu all sorts of bad karbanos, so to say. And therefore, you wouldn't do this to your secular leader. Don't do it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, you wouldn't go and give the king strained, poisoned wine and say, oh no, it's not a problem, Mr. King. Even though it's not a problem, but it's just pasnish. It's not proper to do that. And therefore, you wouldn't do this for a secular king. So certainly, Allah is kama v'kama, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Ha'olam, the king of all kings, you wouldn't do such a thing. This famous statement from Malachi, Hakriver no lepechasecha, would you do such a thing to a secular king? No. So therefore, don't do it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, even Rav Nechemi would say, if it was niskalsa, don't strain it, go and take water from the kiyar. With this, we conclude the beautiful fourth perek of Sukkah, Lulav Yarava, Hadron Lech Lulav Yarava, Hadron Lech Lulav Yarava, Hadron Lech Lulav Yarava, and we go in Yitz Hashem tomorrow and start the beautiful fifth and final perek of Sukkah. Have a wonderful Shabbos.